All right, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. I'm going to read it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Children, obey your parents. This is foundational. Right, this is necessary. This is good. I like the way that the NLT puts this. It says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. So what is children? Let's go to the Greek. The Greek word for children here is techna. And this refers to any sons or daughters who are still living at home. So I split this message up into two parts. The first part of this message, I'm going to talk to my children, teen, and young adults who still live at home. And then the second part, I'm going to bring everybody in. Now, if you're not part of the first group, I would still encourage you not to shut out, not to turn off. Stick with me. This could be beneficial for you too. But to my first group, the children, teen, and young adults in the room. First things first. Paul did not write this to make your life miserable. All right? Quite the opposite, actually. Paul is trying to help you. All right? Because as much as it probably sucks to want to listen right now or want to obey, one day you're going to look back and say, it was probably smart that I did that. It was probably the wise choice. And I probably would be in a lot better position if I had. So let's answer the question, why obey my parents? Let's start there. First, let's look at what it means to obey in the Lord. It means you don't obey your parents because your parents told you to. You don't obey your parents because it feels right. You don't obey your parents because I'm telling you from this stage. It does, however, mean that you are attentive to what your parents are telling you. And you're attentive because, as the NLT version says, you belong to the Lord. Right? You obey the Lord because you do not belong to yourself. You obey the Lord out of obedience, or you obey your parents out of obedience to the Lord. And as we look at the roles of the family, we'll see that the role of children is to put yourselves under the authority of your parents. And when I say parents here, I mean biological parents or adopted parents or your aunt, your uncle, your stepmom, your stepdad, whoever raised you is your parent. And God puts them in authority. And we'll see how God puts them in authority. We're going to flip all the way to Genesis 2. So put a finger in your Bible. We'll be back to Ephesians 6. But we're going to go all the way, almost all the way to the left, to Genesis 2. And we're going to see how God puts parents in authority. Genesis 2, verse 19, which says, now out of the ground the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. So God created the world and everything in it in Genesis 1. Now we're in Genesis 2 and we have everything, but nothing has a name. So God gives Adam the role of naming all of the animals. And in this action, God is giving authority to Adam over the animals. Now we're going to flip a couple pages to Genesis 4. For me, it's just one. Genesis 4, verse 1. And if you don't have a Bible, it should be on the screen. Genesis 4, 1 and 2 says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a worker of the ground. And we're going to continue. We're going to go to Genesis 4:25. And that says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore him a son, and he called his name Seth. Again, we see that God is giving authority to Adam through the action of allowing him to name his children. So in the act of him being able to name his children, he is giving them authority over them. And we see this all the way from the beginning, all right? All the way in Genesis 2, we see this act of parents having authority over children. And it's a reflection of how God created the family to be in order. So if we go to 1 Corinthians 14:33, we see this idea of order. It says that God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. So when God gives us instructions, he gives us instructions for order and for peace. And here he's giving us, we can flip back to Ephesians 6. Here he's giving us the order for the family. The last 2 weeks we had husbands. And we talked about how husbands are under the authority of God and they are the heads of their houses. Last week we talked about wives, how they're under the leadership of their husbands. And now Paul continues as we see children. And children being under the leadership of their parents. And I feel I should be very clear here. This is about authority. This is not about value. This is not an order of value. If it was an order of value, we would all be on an equal playing field. This is simply authority. God is putting roles in place so the family will function properly. Again, not about value, about authority. So Paul is reestablishing the order of the family. And why is this order so important? I'm going to make you flip in your Bible again. We're going to go back to Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, we see the order of creation. God created Adam, then God created Eve, and then they bore children. And if we go to the next chapter, Genesis 3, we see that God builds that order of responsibility from the order of creation. We see in the fall, Eve disobeys God. She disobeys God's order not to eat of this fruit in the garden. And through that, sin enters the world. Yet, we see that the blame throughout Scripture is not put on Eve, it's put on Adam. Adam was held responsible for the actions of Eve because he was in authority over Eve. In the same way, parents are responsible for the way they raise their children. And Pastor Gary is going to talk about that more next week, so I won't step on his toes. But God establishes this order in Genesis 3. We see what happens when we neglect these roles, when we neglect this order. Because, see, Adam neglected his role to lead Eve. Eve neglected her authority over the animals. And because of that, sin enters the world. And I know I say all this. I say, obey your parents. Here's why you should obey your parents. But I also know that that doesn't make it any easier. It's still very difficult. See, we're imperfect kids trying to listen to imperfect parents, and we're imperfect parents trying to lead imperfect kids, and our difficulty all boils down to one thing. Our difficulty boils down to the sin in our lives. See, sin entered families and started ripping them apart. We see it with the first brothers, Cain and Abel. The first story about brothers is one murdering the other right after sin entered the world. Sin destroys. Sin tells us what we want is best when really what we want is terrible for us. I'll use the analogy of a two-year-old and a fork. If my two-year-old nephew has a fork and he finds an outlet, his thought, you guys are already tracking with me, his thought is this fork is going to fit in that outlet. And there's two voices in his head. One voice says, that fork will fit. You should put it in that outlet. And the other voice says, no, 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 no. Don't do that. That's not good for you. That's going to hurt you. Sin is the first voice. Sin says, well, it'll fit, right? So why not do it? It doesn't tell you about the dangers of it. It doesn't tell you that it's going to rip your life apart. It doesn't tell you that it's going to deliver you a nasty shock. And God is the other voice. God is giving you instructions. Hey, don't do that. I know what's going to happen. It's gonna hurt. You're gonna regret it. But yet, it's still so hard to understand. If we look at it through the lens of a two-year-old, the two-year-old doesn't know that that outlet is gonna shock them. All they see is fork will fit. But God sees that it's gonna hurt. He says, no, don't do that. And though he doesn't understand, it's still for his benefit. So as hard as it may seem, I will encourage you with this. If we go through life with the mindset of Romans 8:28, which says, and for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those called according to his purpose, it becomes a lot easier to obey God's commands because we understand that God's commands are for our good. Even if they hurt for a little bit now, ultimately, they're for our good. And out of that, we can express our love for God through our honor, through the honor of our parents. And this is where, if you tuned out, I want you to tune back in. Ephesians 6:2. All right? Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. Paul expands his command out from verse 1, from children. Now he's talking to everybody in verse 2. Honor your father and mother. So it doesn't matter if you're 15 or if you're 100. This is for you. We are to honor our father and mother. So what does this look like? I've got three ways that we can honor our parents. The first way, we can honor them by treating them with dignity. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Your parents gave you life. They've imparted wisdom on you in your childhood. And when you treat them with dignity, you show them the appreciation for what they've done. I think one of the greatest ways we can show dignity to our parents is by caring for them. My grandma is 94 years old. She has lived a long and good life. But that also means that she can't do most things that she used to be able to do. So when we go over to their house, we only get to go over about once a year nowadays. But when we go over, after we catch up, what I get to see is I get to see my dad start to help her do the things that she can't do anymore. Because she struggles to do it. So every time I visit my grandma's house, I get to see my dad honor his mom in such a beautiful way without complaining. And maybe it's not physical care for your parents. Maybe it's mental care. Maybe it's emotional care. Maybe it's even physical care. But caring for your parents is such an honorable thing to do. The second way we are able to honor our parents is to show them gratitude. This might mean you need to take your parents out for lunch sometime this week. Show them that you're grateful. Your parents, they sacrifice for you every single day. They had to put food on the table. They put clothes on your back. They had to put a roof over your head. Every single day. One of the greatest ways you can express your gratitude towards them is by telling them you're grateful. Use your words. Does your speech uplift them? Or does your speech continually go back to gossiping about every little mistake they made as you were a child? Remember, we're imperfect kids listening to imperfect parents and imperfect parents trying to lead imperfect kids. So do you attentively listen to the wisdom that they have or that they shared with you? Or do you write them off because they don't know better? Some of you today need to seek forgiveness from your parents because you have failed in honoring them. Which brings us to our last way we can honor our parents. And this one's important because some of you have heard what I've said and you're like, you don't know what you're talking about. My parents, they're not worth honoring. My mom was addicted to drugs my entirety of growing up. My dad never showed up to a single one of my ball games. My parents treated me like I was garbage. They abused me, they discarded me, they couldn't have cared less. Some of you, that's a reality. And to you, I say, I can't imagine that. I'm so sorry. I can't imagine how it felt. I couldn't imagine what you've gone through. And for you, I want you to know that there is a Father in heaven who loves you, who's not going to leave you. Joshua 1:5 says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a picture of what a father's love should be. And some of you didn't get to experience that from your parents, and I'm so sorry. But I also want you to know this. Honoring your parents looks different for you. I don't expect you to have an overwhelming amount of gratitude. Forgiveness for you, or honor for you, looks like forgiveness. And I want to look at the last days of Jesus really quick. All right, in the last days of Jesus, he was betrayed by one of his 12 closest friends. He was sentenced to hang on a cross. He was whipped and beaten beyond recognition. Yet what does he say on the cross? Luke 23:34. He says, "Father, forgive them." It's honorable to forgive those who hurt you. And this goes beyond just parents. Anybody that's hurt you, it is honorable to forgive them. And I'm not saying that you're expected to be in the same level of relationship as you were before. You're not. But you are called to forgive them. Honestly forgive them. And maybe you're sitting here and you haven't felt this forgiveness from Jesus. And that's what you need today. I would say to you, if you haven't felt the forgiveness of Jesus, that's what you need before you go fixing any relationship in your life. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the first step to getting forgiveness from Jesus. Invite Jesus to do a work in your life. Let him begin to mend that brokenness in your family. Ephesians 4:32 says this, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. I don't know what everyone's childhood looked like, but I can guarantee you this. At some point along the line, your parents did something that hurt you. It's a fact of life. And it's probably stuck with you. The first step to fixing that, the first step to mending that, is to forgive them as Christ forgave you. See, Christ is the foundation of our family. And as we wrap up, I want us to think about why Paul put this in his letter. Why the focus on the family? It's because it's important to God. God instated families. God created families to bring him glory. And sin and the world has taken that and ripped it apart. Paul is now giving us instructions how to rebuild these families, how to rebuild these families to glorify God. And it has to start with this foundation of honor. That's why I love Family Month, because I get to see families come back together and start to mend these relationships and mend these bonds. I get to see families start to focus on the real important things, Jesus.